conflict does happen. We spent a good chunk of this past spring talking about how we can resolve conflict in a healthy way, in a biblical way. Most people, by nature, when conflict comes, they either fight or flight, flee. They either attack or escape. And both of those practices are absolutely, completely wrong. There's a biblical way that involves repentance and reconciliation, confession, and forgiveness. But conflicts do happen. You don't have to be a two-headed monster to know that. And we see that whenever people get together, oops, disagreements happen, right? If you haven't experienced conflict, that must mean you live on a desert island all by yourself. Even then, I'm not sure about that. I heard this story, I don't think it's true, about this guy who was marooned on a desert island for like 20 years. And he would, have the smoke signals, and when ships would pass by, and no ship ever would stop. And then, believe it or not, miracle of all miracles, 20 years later, a ship came by and saw his smoke signals and came and rescued him. And when the captain of the ship came off to take him off the island, he noticed these three little huts that the man had made. And he said, "You're the only one on this island?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Well, what's the first hut?" He said, "Well, I built that one first. That's where I live. You know, the rain and the elements, and I need to get out of the elements. That's the hut where I live." He said, "What's the second hut?" He said, "Well, I decided to build a church so that I could go to church on Sunday and, even though I was by myself, worship the Lord." He said, "What's the third hut?" He says, "Well, that's the church I went to next because I was mad at the other church." If someone's not laughing next to you, please explain it to them later, all right? Last week we saw that a potential tragedy almost darkened the mission and ministry of the first century church. After Paul and Barnabas' first and successful missionary journey, they returned to Antioch, where they discovered that some people had been teaching that the Gentile believers could not be accepted into the fellowship without first practicing circumcision and obeying the Old Testament ritual laws. This could have been a discouragement for people converting, as I shared last week, especially the men. This also could have resulted in a major church split between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. However, as we saw last week, and if you missed it, you can find the message online on our church webpage, the church leaders were able to resolve this conflict, and the church rejoiced and as they focused more on what God was doing to bring people into his kingdom, no matter what their backgrounds were. However, conflict doesn't seem to ever cease completely in a church. Have you noticed that? Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. And if you don't have one with you, there might be one close by in front of you or behind you or something like that. Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Well, what's going on here? We read in this text that sometime later, well, we're not sure how long, but sometime later after the conflict over the circumcision of Gentiles before they became believers, Paul suggested to his ministry partner and colleague that they return to Galatia and visit the churches there in Asia Minor, what we know today as Turkey, and see how the believers were doing. This seemed like a good idea to Barnabas, and he wanted to take his cousin along, John Mark. Now, Luke does not mention that they're cousins, but Paul does in Colossians chapter 4. So you can understand, Barnabas wanted to bring his cousin along with them. Paul did not think that this was a wise course of action. In Paul's opinion, and it seemed in Luke's opinion as well, who wrote this, Mark was not reliable. He had deserted them on their first endeavor. He didn't complete what they started. Now, I'm guessing that Paul was not a very patient man. That if you could work well with Paul, that was great. But if Paul lost confidence in you, he was done with you. And he said to Barnabas, there's no way in the world we're bringing Mark with us. We need someone dependable, reliable, someone who's going to follow through on what they said. Now, this was awful because their partnership was over. And Barnabas and Mark set out on their own and went to Cyprus. By the way, Barnabas was from Cyprus, so kind of he decided to go home and do a mission there. And Paul recruited Silas as his new ministry partner. Now, you might remember from last week, Silas was one of the leaders that the church in Jerusalem sent to investigate what was going on in Antioch. The sad thing about this is, we never hear about Barnabas again. We never hear a word about Barnabas again. The book of Acts focuses on Paul being at the center stage. But remember that as we've been looking through this book of Acts, it's a book where we see the Holy Spirit empowering and equipping the church to reach out and make disciples of all nations. And we have the same mission here at our church. We are here to be empowered by God's Spirit to make disciples of all nations. One of the things we learn from reading the scripture is that the problems that we have in the 21st century are also problems that existed in the first century. This, it says in Ecclesiastes in the Hebrew scriptures, there's nothing new under the sun. Even the two-headed monster would agree with that, right, kids? First of all, number one, disagreements happen. Now, I imagine for most of you, this is not news. Anybody married here? Disagreements happen. Anybody have children here? Grandchildren? Yeah. My grandchildren are perfect. Children? Mm. Disagreements happen. Anybody have parents here? You know what I'm saying. Disagreements happen. Anybody have a job? Anybody live in a neighborhood? Anybody have friends? Anybody go to church? You all should have your hands up for crying out loud. Come on, wake up. Disagreements happen. It's inevitable. Brothers and sisters sometimes go at it. One of the first terrific stories in the Bible was about two brothers who couldn't seem to get along. You know that one, right? Cain and Abel? From time to time, we have interpersonal disturbances in our workplace with our neighbors. Should I talk about across the street, the loud music at 2 a.m.? No, I won't mention that at all. The church is not immune to disagreements because the church is filled with people. And people have disagreements. Sometimes there's conflict with each other. Sometimes, all the time, where we have conflict with God. We call that sin. That which separates us from God. The church is built on relationships. And sometimes, believe it or not, as hard as it would be for any of you to believe, sometimes there are even disagreements in the church family. Paul and Barnabas were a team. God had used them to make great impact in the ministry. And what I don't understand is how this relationship disintegrated. Who was it that took Paul under his wing when everybody else thought that he was not really truly a believer, that he was going to destroy the church? Barnabas. Who was it that was so generous in even donating proceeds from his real estate development business to the church? Barnabas. Who was it whose name, the name they gave him, because his name was Joseph, but they gave him the name, I think his name was Joseph, they gave him the name Barnabas because he was a son of encouragement, which is what Barnabas means. You know, there couldn't be a sweeter guy than Barnabas. Kind of reminds me of myself. Or Jared. Couldn't be a sweeter guy than Barnabas. And yet, this ministry team splits. Barnabas, being that sweet guy, wanted to give John Mark another chance. Paul said, no, there's no do-overs here. Once you drop the ball, you're off the team. He was unwilling to take the risk again. I wonder if there's more to the story that we don't know. Perhaps. The Bible doesn't tell us every detail. I would hope Paul would not be that hard and harsh. After all, they worked out a great theological problem with law and grace between circumcision and God's mercy. Couldn't they work this problem out? Evidently not. Remember what it says in verse 39, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. The reality, my friends, is this. Disagreements happen. Conflict isn't fun. It isn't. As I said last week, it's inevitable. We need to do as much as possible to resolve conflicts. But as I also said last week, sometimes it's impossible. Sometimes, as much as you try, as much as you pray, some of you are thinking now of conflicts maybe with people that you pray to the Lord, I wish this could be resolved. I wish someone who was a good friend could be a friend again. Believe me, I know what that's like. I know what that's like. Sometimes, even in the story of Paul and Barnabas, sometimes it doesn't end the way you wish it would end, right? We don't have all the details. But it seems that Barnabas' mercy and Paul's practicality could no longer coexist. And they could not resolve the conflict. A long and fruitful ministry partnership sadly came to an end. And believe me, sometimes it happens in churches today too. And it's very, very sad. You can think of people who've left churches rather than resolving issues. It's very, very sad. Yeah, it's inevitable. Disagreements happen. But secondly, God still works. Is God paralyzed by our disagreements? Is God paralyzed by our failure to resolve conflict? Absolutely not. His work still goes on, sometimes in spite of us. Luke says in verse 40, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now don't get me wrong. I'm sure the Lord would have loved to have seen Barnabas and Paul resolve their differences and continue to work together. Plan one is always to ask for forgiveness or seek for forgiveness and see reconciliation or peace come about. Paul himself wrote that believers should seek reconciliation. Jesus prayed in the upper room before he went to the cross in John 17. Three times he prayed that his disciples would be what? One as he is one. He prayed that they would show love toward one another. When Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, he encouraged two women who weren't getting along in the church to make it right. But as I said, sometimes it doesn't happen. But God still works. Now there are two missionary teams where there were one. Barnabas and Mark go to Cyprus in the west, And Paul and Silas head east to Asia Minor. I've heard stories of awful church splits. Relationships are damaged. Ministries suffer. God's testimony in the community is dragged through the mud. It's not good. It's not good when this happens. Having a conflict is not a good reason to leave a church. God prefers that we make it right. But sometimes it happens, but God still works. I knew of a church in the Midwest that had such a severe conflict that the church split. A large church, a church of thousands of people. And now these two churches are next door to each other. I'm not sure it's necessarily a good thing, but God still works. And now there are two churches sharing the good news in that area. You see, when people come to know Christ, whatever the church, whatever the human frailties were, God is still glorified. Now, this isn't an excuse to avoid seeking peace and reconciliation, but it is a reminder that God will work no matter what, even in spite of you and me. Even in spite of you and me. Now, I don't want God to work in spite of me. I want Him to work with me. I want to be on the team. And that's why, as much as possible, I will try and resolve a conflict. I've had people that I have tried to contact time after time and have refused. And sometimes you need to shake the dust off your feet and move on. It's still painful. It's still not easy. But God is still at work. Paul says, do as much as you can, as much as possible. And sometimes it's not possible. But God still works. You know, I think about a church, if it has conflict and a division, and people in that church act like spoiled children sometimes. You know what I mean? But God will not punish those who need His grace because of spoiled children in His church. He'd rather work with them. But God will not punish those who need Christ because we sometimes act like spoiled children. Again, it's not an excuse. But praise the Lord that God still works. Thirdly, and finally, we don't have the end of the story. We don't have the end of the story. As I said, sometimes relationships aren't reconciled. Sometimes conflicts aren't resolved. Paul and Barnabas split up because one wanted John Mark on the team and the other didn't. But we don't have the end of the story. Do you know the end of the story? They didn't know it then, but we know it now. Paul and Barnabas didn't know. They thought they'd never get together again. Or at least Paul and Mark. Paul is at the end of his life. He's in a jail cell in Rome. He's about to be executed. And we read this in 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Luke is the one who wrote the book of Acts. And of course, the Gospel of Luke. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I don't know how it happened, but sometimes when you think a relationship is hopelessly broken, God can still do miracles. If you have someone that you've broken a relationship with and you've given up, don't give up. As long as there's still breath in your soul and in that other person's soul, God can still do a miracle. Paul said to Luke, or as Paul said to Timothy, send Mark to me. Mark wasn't a waste of skin and bones. Somehow God, I'm guessing God used Barnabas to help Mark develop and mature and become a choice servant of God. And Paul finally came to his senses toward the end of his life and recognized that. Again, Paul is in prison. And he writes a letter to the brothers and sisters at Colossae. It's known as the epistle, the letter to the Colossians. Listen to these words in Colossians 4:10. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. There Paul is at the end of his life, and says, Barnabas is with me. Here I am, suffering, about to be executed. And who's with me? A few people. One of them, Barnabas. And when he comes to you, I'm guessing after Paul's execution, I have a feeling Mark stayed with Paul to the end. So Timothy sent Mark. Now in Colossae, we see that he's there at the end. When he comes to you, welcome him. You know, do you know that the ministry of Mark is very important to you and me as well? Does your Bible have a table of contents? Does it? Let's look at the New Testament. Matthew, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Is that right? Matthew, Luke, John. No! Matthew, Matthew, Luke, and John. God wasn't done with Mark. Mark matured. Paul, Mark learned a little more about responsibility. And I'm guessing Paul learned a little bit more about mercy and patience. Now, probably all of us in this room, as I've said, yeah, my wife has learned a lot about patience these past 30 plus years. Probably all of us in this room have had relationships that are broken. Some of us have former friends. You know what I'm talking about? Some of us have former friends whom we'd love to be back in relationship with. You know, it's right like to us Facebook people to realize that someone who was our Facebook friend unfriended us. Relationships get broken. Some of you here this morning, even as I'm speaking, have someone who hurt you so much that you haven't spoken to them in years. It might even be a family person. Some of you, as I'm speaking now, your heart is breaking because of a damaged relationship. We don't have the end of the story yet. While that person is still alive, there's still an opportunity. I remember decades ago in my first church, I was a young pastor, 20-something years old, in beautiful Bedford, Pennsylvania, in the Allegheny Mountains. And there was a man in the church who had a sharp conflict with the pastor. And I met with him. Let's try and resolve this. Let's, you know, it never happened. Broke my heart. Years later, I got a phone call. And I recognized he might have lived in Pennsylvania, but he had a New England accent. And as soon as he spoke, I recognized the accent. And it had been years. I was in a church in Chicago. And he said to me in that Maine accent, "Pastor, I need to ask your forgiveness. I hurt you and I wounded you." This was a man when I candidated at the church, said to me, "This I'm candidating at the interview. I hadn't even started. I hadn't even graduated from seminary yet. I was in a spring break. And I came down and I met with them. I'm young and wet behind the ears. I had no idea what I was doing." And in the interview, this man said to me, "You know what my job in this church is? It's to get rid of every pastor." And he had done a good job of that, by the way. Now, I'm not easily intimidated. And I don't think I left because of that, but we tried to make things right. But then I got that phone call years later. He said, "Would you please forgive me?" And I said, "Of course I'll forgive you. Of course I'll forgive you. I've already forgiven you." And if I had said the end of the story was when that happened before, like Paul and Barnabas splitting up, that wasn't the end of the story because they got together and this man, we reconciled that relationship. I do remember one funny thing. He said to me, "I'm going to call up everybody I've hurt and wounded and ask them to forgive me." And I thought to myself, he's going to be on the phone a long time. But he did the right thing. He's with the Lord now. And I have a very strong, confident feeling that when he appeared before the Lord, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, if you've had a break in a relationship with someone, don't give up. What should you do? Just pray. Pray like 90 miles an hour. Pray that God will open that door, that relationship. I'm not sure what happened to Barnabas, because there's nothing else written about him. But I do know from the scriptures I've read to you that somehow Mark got reconnected with Paul. And Paul commended him to the church in Colossae. Paul wanted him with him at the end of his life. I imagine, from what little we know about Barnabas, that Barnabas did all he could do to bring about that reconciliation. And maybe he even had something to do with that reconciliation. We don't know for sure. I'm guessing he probably did. If you still suffer with a damaged relationship this morning, perhaps you might pray that God might do a relational miracle and that you may see that story end with restoration, reconciliation, and rejoicing. It might take years, but as long as there's an opportunity for that to happen, keep on praying. Disagreements happen. God still works. And as long as there is breath, there's a possibility that it could end well.